Welcome to the Rock Live Podcast. How are you all doing on this beautiful day? Our prayer, as always, is that you are engaging, you are getting filled up, you're getting encouraged as we have some conversations about what's going on in our world here at The Rock, as well as in the world at large. Today, we're going to be talking about some various topics, but really, Pastor Dan, how are you, by the way?
I am doing good.
It was your birthday recently.
It was.
And so we want to kind of just pull on some any nuggets that you're learning from and the things that you are taking as you go one more trip around the sun. If you were here on Sunday night,
yeah, was
we got to talk about that.
Amazing.
Pastor Teresa, our Sunday night service.
Beautiful message.
She was a chemistry major by trade, right? Or by
she
study?
She was a high school chem teacher.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
teacher. Yeah, not just a major.
For a couple of decades, yeah.
And so she's sent us to school in terms of some of these things. And obviously, you know.
She's brilliant.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now. She is absolutely brilliant.
I thought I had my glasses. Do you ever do that? Phantom glass race?
Phantom. You know, I don't know if I've done that.
I've done this before.
Have you?
Like when I'm not even wearing glasses. And if you're just listening on audio. I just kind
he's rubbing his finger up his finger, nose like to push his glasses up that down. Are not there, but he had the phantom glasses raised.
Because you wear glasses. Do you ever find yourself?
I think more often than not, it's not the glasses raised. It's like I want to take my glasses off.
Oh, yes. Okay. And you kind of go this number.
But then I'm like, there's no glasses on my face. It's like in the morning, you know.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever have the phantom phone vibration?
Yes.
Yeah. Like that's. I think that's a thing.
It makes me angry.
Right. Because like, oh, man, that's really revealing, right?
Like I'm. Attached to this thing.
Yes,
and I
know,
should not be attached to it. I don't want to be attached to it.
Man.
But yeah.
Anyways. But hey, we want you to like, subscribe, share. Some cool things we've been finding. People have been engaging the last couple episodes as we've just kind of talked about some of the hot topics or things that are going on.
And I still get so many people coming to the back door telling me how God's ministering to them or how much they liked it.
Yep.
I love the encouragements to you. A lot of people keep going. Mm-hmm. It's working, you know, that sort of a thing. So thank you. To everybody listening and viewing, because those things help us to continue to see the value in it, you know, and we do take time out to do this and we do put some thought and intentionality into it. And so the fact that someone is getting something from it does mean a lot to us, you know, and helps us to continue to go. And we would love to hear your comments, love to hear your questions. If you have insights or thoughts for future topics or things that we can discuss that you believe would help you or the body of Christ, please comment, you know, or even email us, email at rockchurch.com, and you can put podcast in the title of the subject line. Mm-hmm. We would love to hear from you and see what, you know, how we can serve, really.
Yeah. Well, just this morning, I know on our socials, I had put out kind of wanting to put out some feelers on potential topics.
Yeah.
So I got some good questions and good feedback. So we're looking forward to maybe next week we'll put together some of those questions and try to go through some of those rapid fire styles. There's some great questions that came in, and I think it's great to help people again. But what it did make me realize, Pastor Dan, is how much how important it is for all of us as believers. You know, not just you know you the pastors or like all of us as believers with access to God's word. There are these looming questions and we do want some of those answers. And I know sometimes I read and I go, oh, man, I want to run this by somebody. I want to run this by Pastor Dan. I want to run this by. And it made me realize, like, I also have a Holy Spirit. You know, like we have the Holy Spirit within us that can help us and guide us. And anyone listening, watching, if you are filled with if you are born again, filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
When you read your word, the Holy Spirit's part of his job. Right. Part of his job description is to help us, guide us through, teach
us. Remind us things to come. Yeah. He is the teacher
and
the counselor.
So he can bring some of those up. But it's always great to get extra wisdom.
Yeah.
And so we are blessed to be able to be one of those things for you. But what I'm trying to say is we never want to be the replacement.
No.
For the Holy Spirit in you. We should just be a confirming word, right?
Absolutely, yeah. No, I think that that's where, when you look at, again, job descriptions, God gives us some beautiful ones. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, talks about the job description of a pastor. Mm-hmm. And Peter's talking to the shepherds, and he says, shepherd the flock of God, which is your responsibility. Well, the Amplified obviously amplifies it, but expounds on it with better words, and it says to tend, nurture, guard, guide, and fold.
Yes.
And so, you know, as shepherds overseeing the flock of God, that he's entrusted to us. We're really under shepherds of Christ, and Christ is the great shepherd. And that's what you're talking about. We all have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm, we all can hear from God. I love how the Apostle Paul told Timothy, if anything's unclear, then pray about it, and God will make that clear to you.
Yeah.
Right? So we have that. John told us we have an anointing that teaches us all things. And so we have the ability by the Spirit of God to learn the wisdom from God's word and these subjects, these topics. We have the ability to understand and to see a biblical perspective on what that looks like. But there are things that it does help to have a pastor and someone in your life that will feed you, right? That will lead you and feed you, right? Yeah. So they're going to lead you beside the still waters and to the green pastures, that sort of a thing. But yeah, it's to tend, nurture, guard, guide, and fold. And that nurture is to bring nourishment,
right?
To care for. And that's what pastors do, is we care enough that when we see the direction of someone's lives, that we would lead, we would guard over them with, you know, the enemy coming through. Again, the Apostle Paul said this to the Ephesian elders. He said, savage wolves will rise up from among you. So even from within the church, I mean, there's things that will come up, winds of doctrine, if you will, that we have to be aware of, and that shepherds should stand against and say, hey, no, that's not right. So oftentimes you'll hear me talk about certain things from the pulpit. There have been times where I've addressed things plain and simple. I've said, hey, you're hearing this. This is the case, certain things that you will hear me absolutely come against, because it is a demonic doctrine, and it needs to be addressed. Other times, I'll very subtly address maybe culture, norms, things like that, that are woven into, even though there may not be a doctrine, there is a way. And so to guide the flock of God towards that greener pasture, towards safety, or towards things that will help them, leading them into the direction that they need to go. So that's where I believe everyone should have a pastor that they're submitted and committed to.
I think that's what I was trying to the point of, you know, that this should be supplemental. So that way to discourage kind of what picking and choosing. We talked about this a couple of podcasts ago, just kind of getting a custom feed me with what I want to hear.
Yeah.
When you have a pastor, because you'll get the full picture, the full scope. And so, man, again, it is our blessing to be able to do that. And that's why it does encourage us. Going back to the top of the conversation about just what we want to talk about today, Pastor, is just, again, as you have completed another trip, I think that's where we started.
That's where we started,
Another trip around the sun for your birthday. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you, thank you.
We can say the age number, right? You're okay with?
Yeah.
46.
46
years old.
I'm closer to 50 than I am to 40 now.
You are officially, I don't think you can say, well, can you say mid-40s? Probably, but,
but
you're closer to 50s.
Right, 45?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would include the 44 to 46.
Okay, that's mid, right?
Mid.
Okay. And then it's kind of like
47 is starting to get late.
Well, it's like in grades, right? At 7, it becomes like the solid A, right? When it's like in the pluses.
Pluses, yeah.
Right, so if you were like at a 97, that's an A plus versus.
So I'm 40 plus? Is that what you're saying?
No, you're just a solid 40s.
Oh, 40s. Yeah, I'm in my 40s, yeah.
And then 48, though, that's like, that's late 40s.
Wow.
Turns into late, sorry.
Late.
Ooh. Anyways. So, yeah, but with another year comes wisdom, comes reflection, I'm sure. Are you a big reflector? Is that a, are you a ponderer, Pastor?
It's funny. There are certain times that I do ponder and that I reflect. I think decades really have been some moments. If I go back through my journals, which I journal every night, even if it's just I woke up, drank coffee, ate breakfast, you know, that sort of thing. I will
just
robotically.
Just for the exercise of the discipline of getting it done. Yeah.
Yeah. There are some days that, you know, I'm sure when I'm dead and in the grave, somebody's going to rip those pages out, you know. Actually, it's digital, so they just delete.
We don't need to.
We don't need to know that you had
is
coffee.
Is this on your phone or is this like a typewriter?
iPad, yeah. I've got an app.
Okay.
You know, so I won't say it here just in case they want royalties.
Right.
But yeah, I use an app. For that
sponsor,
but it backs up, you know, to the cloud and all that kind of stuff. So if anything ever happens, I can go and log in and get it again. But I can type faster than I write, you know, and especially late at night is usually when I'm journaling.
No, that's
good. So you know, the backlit screen and all that kind of stuff helps too. That way, not keep Pastor Jess up. She's dead and gone.
That's right.
Right?
She's
the early bird, right? Yeah. So yeah, and I'm the night owl. So I'm up, you know. And so there are some days that I will ponder things like that. But if you go through my journal on the decade birthdays, you know, 30, 40, that sort of a thing. I mean, I got these long entries, you know. And another time that I often will ponder is the new year. So, you know, Pastor Jess was asking me, hey, 46, is there any goals that you have for the year ahead?
Yeah.
And usually my goal setting is the new year. It's like, okay, I'm still working on 2025 right now, even though I turned 46, my goal setting is really going to be for 2026. You know what I mean? Because I kind of, in my life compartmentalize it that way until there's the decade. And then there are some things that, like, for instance, next year, Pastor Jessica and I are going to celebrate 25 years.
Wow.
Now, at 20 years of marriage, I had it in mind we were going to go to Italy and just really celebrate big, because, again, the decade thing, it's a big number, you know, a big milestone, that sort of thing. But we happen to be, you know,
right in the middle of COVID, right?
Yeah, it was 2021. So it was still funky.
Yeah.
You know, so we ended up going to Santa Barbara, which I love Santa Barbara.
Right.
I mean, if you talk about Italy and the Mediterranean, I mean, Santa Barbara is pretty dang close, you know, so it's not a bad substitute. And we had the most beautiful time, some of the best food. Don't tell her. If she gets mad.
That you had some of the best food outside of her kitchen.
I tell you, man. There's a restaurant, again, I won't say the name of it if you want to know. Ask me at the back door.
Yeah.
The tacos, remember?
Oh,
so many people asked me at the back door.
I know, that was a fun plug.
Yeah, people love that. Yeah, and I haven't heard if anybody's went.
Michelin
I think one person did, yeah. Yeah, you can Google it. But anyways, some of the best food I've ever had in my life, Santa Barbara.
Wow.
One place we were on a horseback ride because, again, 20th anniversary.
Of course.
We can't go to Italy, so what are we going to do? I got to make this really special. So I planned horseback riding on the beach.
There we go.
Tell me what is more romantic
on
your 20th anniversary than horseback riding on the beach with a helmet on your head and a young guy leading you on another horse, right? So, but the guy was in finance and that sort of thing, and so we're talking to him about cryptocurrency and all that. This is on our anniversary.
Yeah,
this is
what
our conversations are with the young guy on the horse in front of us. As we passed, you know, some celebrities' homes on both sides of the beach, that sort of thing going down. So we're, you know, having our wonderful horseback ride. But we asked him, we said, hey, what do you recommend as far as restaurants? He had one place, man. He went for it and probably oversold it in some terms of his speech. But in the delivery of this place, I was like, no, he didn't oversell.
That's
know, like this place, he was right.
It lived up to the hype.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It was... And we went there again recently.
Yeah.
And I must have been. Have you seen that movie? What About Bob?
Not that I can
recall. As a pastor, you need to see it.
All right. What about
and
Bob?
Think about pastoring the whole time. It's about a therapist who has a client named Bob.
Yes.
Bob is like a codependent, you know. And so the therapist wants to go on vacation. Well, Bob ends up finding where his vacation house is, and ends up like kind of getting himself.
He shows. I feel like I remember the premise.
He embeds himself in the family,
And
this man goes sailing, and they got him tied to the mast. He's, I'm sailing. It's a great movie, hilarious. But there's a moment where they're all sitting around the dinner table, and Bob is eating this food, and he's, oh, Mrs. B, this is the best food I've ever had in my life. And he's eating. And every bite, Mrs. B.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, the character played by Richard Dreyfuss stands up in anger and just shouts at him, Bob, it can't be that great. You know, like, I think at this restaurant, I was Bob, you know. And Jessica is going, you don't do that with my food. You know, you don't do my cooking. And I'm going, honey, you don't cook like this. You know, come on. I mean, if you cook like this, then, you know.
This is this, but you know what I thought of? What
she's
going
to listen to this. I'm going to be in trouble all over again. But
Pastor
honey, I love you. I love
your cooking.
Does
she listen to the podcast? Is the real question. I don't know.
She does.
Oh, does she?
And
okay.
I'm in trouble.
Oh man. Okay. Well, it was nice to know you, Pastor.
Thank you. Yeah.
It made me think of, remember the goal setting question? It made me think of do better, Dan. You got to tell the story.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, 1 year. It's New Year. We are pondering the New Year, right? And I mean, it was getting late, and you got to know my wife. When it gets late, she doesn't do well with her thinking and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So she's kind of half in, half out of consciousness. And we're talking about some things, and she said, "You know, Dan, you know, the New Year's coming, and you just got to do better. That's it. Do better, Dan.
In this year, do better."
And we joke. I mean, literally, I think I burst out laughing in the bed.
Yeah.
Like that's what you're telling me, right? I got to do better. Okay,
thanks,
you know,
babe. Yeah.
Thanks. Good. Night. We
Happy New Year.
Encouragement. Is that a backhanded encouragement? You know, but yeah, we brought it to the staff. We were like, hey, here, do better 2020, whatever it was, 2023, 2024. Yeah, we should have made some shirts, but do better. So yeah, no, I think, 46, I got to do better with the food encouragement.
Yeah. How important are goals or that setting to you, right? I mean, I know, again, there's, as we get into the end of the year, there's going to be courses and ebooks and again value in writing and scriptures in terms of practical, is this something that you do regularly? Are you a goals guy? Are you more of a checkbox guy? And I don't ask just for what does Pastor Dan do, but in terms of, because there are different personality types. Sure. And somebody like, well, I don't do goals. Am I a bad person? Or just to, again, the variance of how this execution looks.
Well, I know that the type A people are going to be like, come on, yeah, you know, give me the checklist, right, give me the boxes to right check, give me, you know, the very practical things. Mm-hmm. I want to mark things off as I go through. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, and then there are the people that are not goal oriented. But I'll give you two sides to the coin. One side is simply this, is that I do believe that character and the virtues of God in us should always be our aim, if you will. Our yeah ultimate goal should always be following Christ, because, you know, more than anything, I know that my heart's cry, one man of God, I can't remember if it's T.L.R. Osborne or somebody said this, I want what God wants the way he wants it.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean? Like, when you have that heart and that mindset, sometimes your goals can go out the window, because, you know, obviously, Peter and James and John may have had the goal of right building the biggest fish business mm-hmm in the Galilee,
yeah,
right? But Jesus showed up and started teaching from their boat and told them to launch out for a catch, and they caught more fish than they had ever caught yeah in toiling all night. And here's Peter, away from me, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus says, no, you're going to go be a fisher of men. And right from that moment on, he followed Jesus. What I am today is because I fell at the feet of Jesus and confessed I was a sinful man.
Yeah.
And he told me to follow him, not in those same terms that he right did with Peter, no, but no, he made me a fisher of men,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I never had the goal of becoming a pastor.
Yeah.
I never had the goal of, you know, doing what I do today. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have made this goal. I think I've been very vocal about this. I would have had the goal of being a rock star. I would have had the goal of writing music, and I would have the goal of ministry through music and all that kind of stuff. Knew that I want to do that. And someday, way far away, maybe I'll go to Bible college. Maybe I'll become a pastor. I'll use the platform of music to reach people for Jesus.
Yeah.
But that was my very limited understanding of what my assignment and what God wanted me to do was. So my ultimate aim has been to follow him. Mm-hmm. And that has led me to some of the greatest things that I've ever done, accomplished, whatever. You know, I think it's like the Apostle Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Yeah.
You know, it's only because God has been leading me and empowering me and working in me and through me and being patient with me and kind to me when I didn't
yeah
deserve it,
yeah,
that I could do anything. Mm-hmm. However, on the other end of
yes
that, like I said, every year I'm very contemplative. I ponder. I think. I do. You know, there are some very sentimental moments. Not only my decade birthdays, my kids' milestones. You know, I think I took my daughter turning 5 harder than I did me turning 30.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, it was kind of one of those moments where I, in contrasting them, I was like, dude, I remember 5. Like, I could ruin this kid's life if I'm not yeah careful. You know, yeah, because there are core memories that are going to be built, and she's going to remember, and I better get this right. You know, and so it was like a big deal. And obviously every parent sees their own life
yeah
being played out through the little people that look like them, you know? And so it's like, I'm watching myself and my heart is out of my chest running around, you know, in a female form. And so here she is 5 and I'm going, oh my gosh, she's 5. How could this happen? You know? And then I turn 30. I'm like, yeah, so okay.
No big deal. Yeah.
New decade. But within that time frame, and I know God gives us times and seasons, right? That within that time frame, I know that there were things that I looked back on and you know, the mistakes as well as the things that I desired to do. And I said, okay, for this next season, you know, I'm going to do better, whatever, you know, that looks like. And then there are other things that, yeah, I do want to do these things, you know? So, you know, as I get older, obviously some of those markers are changing, and some of them can be very practical. Like, man, I want to be more active, you know? I want to lift weights. I want to, you know, and those are kind of the stereotypical yeah things. But yeah, I think you realize that as you get older, your health is important mm-hmm because you're seeing, hey, what I used to be able to do without much recovery or without much consequence, now it's getting more difficult to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and not by any means that 46 is where, you know, some of our listeners are going to be going, dude, you ain't seen nothing yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just don't even talk
Call
to me about
that.
Call
me when you're 60.
Yep, yeah, yep, yep. So, but I just am aware of those things, and probably having aging parents and things mm-hmm like that. Mm-hmm. Definitely you're looking at, hey, it's not going to be that long.
Yes.
And the older you get, the faster time goes, it seems. But, you know, you realize in a very short period of time, if I don't take care of myself the way that I need to, I could be in a much worse position than yeah just having some aches and pains or whatever, or a longer recovery. It could be serious. Mm-hmm. And so some of those practical things, yeah, I do give myself goals of like, hey, I haven't worked out this week, you know, or I've just been very sedentary and I need to move. And so I'll just find myself around the house or, you know, calling someone to play pickleball or, you know, trying to do something, you know, and just get out there and be more active. So, yeah, there are some very practical things that when I ponder, when I look at goals, there are things that, yeah, I mean, I blew it the whole Christmas season and I'm not going to eat like that or whatever, you know. But there are also some spiritual goals. I think it was not for 2025, but for 2024. I remember writing in my journal and I was thinking on the new year, we had just celebrated, ball dropped, you know, we watched the clock and came through, kissed my wife as we went into the new year, yeah, as you should, right? And shouted Happy New Year and all that. And closed up the house and everybody that was there left, you know, some of the family was over and things like that. And so we went to bed and it was late, you know, but we're into the new year, mm-hmm, now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm journaling and I remember writing this new year, I really want to grow spiritually, you know? And, yeah, and in some ways that was an interesting thought to me because I'm a pastor. I'm leading others to grow spiritually, yeah, you know, and I'm reading the Bible a lot. Reading a lot about the Bible. I'm constantly in prayer. I'm in a church environment. I've got godly people around me all the time. And yet there was a longing in my soul that said, I want to grow spiritually. And it's kind of funny. I don't know how I got on this mailing list. As a pastor, especially I think of a large church, mm-hmm, you're on a lot of people's radar.
Right.
And many people want something from you. So I get solicitations and, you know, calls and texts and emails and all that kind of stuff for everybody's church marketing thing or, right, for their, you know, whatever business thing or administrative thing for the church.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I you know, try and push a lot of that off and away and that sort of thing. That's not what I'm here for. And those decisions are made by people that are a lot smarter than I am at this church, that really can understand those things. But somehow I got on the New Living Translation's mailing list, mm-hmm, and they just started sending me Bibles.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Which I'm like, bring it on, yeah, you know, yeah, like, hey, I'll be on that mailing, yeah, list. Yeah. Like, that's awesome. And they sent me some great resources that I was able to share with some, one college professor, I sent him some of the resources, and he was like, man, this has already helped me so much. So NLT, if you're listening, yeah, thank you. Like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, you're making an impact. And they asked me if I'd be an NLT advocate, yeah, which I said, look, I don't prefer NLT above, right, any other, right, translation, but if you're asking me to promote Bible reading,
yeah,
I'll be an advocate all day long, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you put my name on your list,
yeah, yeah,
that I support the NLT. I think it's a solid translation. Mm-hmm. I think the language updates, I think as I look at the Greek, mm-hmm, and as I look at the Hebrew and I look at the way they translate it, I think in many ways they got it right.
Mm-hmm.
You, yeah, know, there are some solid things in there. And then I think as well, capturing the essence of language, it's very difficult, right, you know, very difficult when you take a look at certain things because some stuff is not clear. And I do believe that the NLT in the modern mindset helps us in a lot of ways to capture some things that maybe when you read some of the other older translations, yeah, you might go, what does that mean? And then you're reading the NLT and you go, oh, okay, I get what they're saying now, you know, right, contextually, mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm, as well, like I said, I think in a lot of ways they get it right. That's not to put down the other translations. I think the older translations are solid,
yeah,
you know, and I mean, when I got saved, what, 35 years ago now, 36 years ago now, dang it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all NIV because that was the updated translation at the time. And, you know, there were some beautiful things that the Lord ministered to me and that I still draw from,
right,
from the NIV,
right,
you know, started coming to the Rock, Pastor Jim, he said, we studied from the old King James, yeah, but we preached from the new King James,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I crossed over to NKJV.
Yeah.
And again, beautiful. There's, mm-hmm, some great things. And so I draw from a lot of that. If you ever listen to my preaching,
yeah,
I'm using paraphrases, the Message.
I feel like I've seen you in recent years use more translations and it just adds a little bit more robustness.
I think there's beauty in,
yeah,
all of it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think that's where, you know, it used to be that you had to preach from the King James Version, yeah, and then you had to, yeah, talk about Greek and Hebrew. Now, yeah, we're getting a lot of translations that are helping us in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
To communicate the gospel.
And these and the thous sometimes can be...
It can be confusing.
Yeah, right.
Even words, you know, like the King James Version uses importunity.
Mm.
Great word.
Right.
NIV, I believe, uses boldness.
Mm.
You know, we understand boldness, right?
Yeah.
So when talking about prayer, if I told you to have an importunity in your prayer, you'd go, I don't understand that. But if I said, have bold prayer, gotcha, right? So that's where it helps, you know. So NLT sent me a chronological study Bible. And as I was going into the new year, I realized, man, I haven't done a year study Bible in a long time. So I'm you know, vocal about this from the pulpits. I read from the Old Testament in the morning, New Testament in the evening. I'll just read a section.
Mm-hmm.
I don't read a lot.
Yeah.
Because I want to really understand what it's saying, you know.
Right.
There's times that I'll dive into the Hebrew, dive into the Greek. Times that I'll just read it like seven times.
Yeah, and just meditate on that.
Just keep reading it, you
Chew
know.
Chew on that mug.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I was reintroduced to the SOAP method recently.
Yes.
You ever hear about that, right? So you get your scripture. The O is your observation, right? The A is the
application,
and the P is prayer, right? So I think that's a beautiful way for anybody that's trying to figure out, how do I do this Bible study thing, you know? So the word is going to wash you. It's going to clean you up. So what is your scripture? What are you reading, right? What do you notice about it, you know? How does that apply to your life? And then pray, God, help me with this, you know, and give it to the Lord, whatever that is. So it's a beautiful way of doing that. But I was, you know, that's an aside. I was given this Bible from NLT, and it struck me, you know, in my personal study time, I'm reading these sections morning and evening, and to go through the Bible actually probably takes me quite some time.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what that translates into. I could calculate it, but I don't want to.
Right. You're not rushing is the main
I'm
point.
Not rushing. Yeah. So it may take a couple years, might take a few years, you know, I don't know. But I realized, man, there is something to be said of getting that big picture, right? Getting that span and looking at that. And so I said, you know what my goal is to read this thing this year.
Yeah.
And so 2024, I accomplished that goal.
Nice.
I read through the NLT.
Because you said it in front of
chronological study Bible. Yeah, it was a part of my yearly spiritual growth goal.
Yeah.
Because I already had it in me. I want to grow this next year.
Mm.
Well, here's a tool to help me organize a way to promote growth, right?
Yeah.
I think it's like, you know, oh, I've got an app that reminds me to move, or I've got a water bottle that reminds me to drink water, right?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of tools that are out there to help us achieve our goals, right? Even, you know, I want to read more, so you've got a application on your phone or your tablet that reminds you, hey, you haven't met your five-minute reading quota today or whatever it is, you know? So for me, just having that every day, a section that they laid out for me, and it's chronological. So to get the story of the Bible in order and to get that full picture of the span of what God was doing, it was beautiful. And then the commentaries that they have in that Bible were phenomenal. I don't know who wrote
that
stuff.
Yeah.
It's probably in the liner notes or whatever, but I'll tell you, they nailed it in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, things that I teach in like Blood Covenant that I think, does anybody, you know, really study this out. Does anybody ever express this? There were some things that they put in there that I was like, oh, that's good. I'll take that for the class.
No,
you know,
sure.
Like, perfect. You said it better than I would, you know? So,
and that's in the NLT is New Living Translation.
New Living Translation,
And
there's, you know, there's NIV, there's other translations that will do a chronological study Bible, but it just happened to be that they were sending me stuff free. So, Bible translation companies.
Yes, no.
You want me to talk about yours?
Yeah, no,
I'm joking.
That's awesome. Well, cool. So, you know, when you're doing this, as you're going by, what, you know, some of the things you said off camera right before we started were just kind of some things popping off that you're just kind of contemplating on. What are some things that are just fresh or that you're chewing on that we could just kind of take away from today, given either the scope?
Yeah.
Or maybe this. What do you do to questions you don't know? Something that comes up, a current event. An election, a result of this, a bill, unexpected bill in the mail, a shock of some sort. Because I think that's kind of where what we navigate as people, right? Like there, we go from shock and awe. You know, we have highs, and then there's the lows, and those two extremes often bring us to a place of asking questions. What are the questions that you ask yourself, and where do you go to get those answer, or at least try to find peace?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, obviously initially everybody feels things, right? And for me, I'm not as expressive as some people are. Some people may immediately let that emotion prompt giving voice to what that is, whether that's what are we going to do? Anxiety, fear.
Yeah.
That might be anger.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the fact that
this
went through, or that, you know, this company didn't tell me about this and now I'm getting this unexpected bill, right?
Yeah.
So maybe in anger, you know, it might be sadness. I can't believe what's happening. You know, how could this be? You know, so there's the range of emotions. For me, I'm not as expressive, and so I internalize a lot of things. I may feel angry.
Yeah.
I may feel sad. I may feel worried or fear, you know, that sort of thing, or anxious about something. But oftentimes, I don't let that initially come out. It takes a while for me to let those things out, because there are times where my wife and I'll be talking about something, and then all of a sudden, I'll find myself vocalizing anger or something like that, and then I'll be like, please forgive me.
Yeah.
And she's like, no. I'm glad you're finally letting it out.
Yeah,
you know, like it's about time, because I've known this.
Yeah.
Because she knows me.
Stewed or festered.
Oh, yeah. She's like, I knew you were angry, but you never said anything about it. And so I'm just waiting for you to finally. And so she knows, you know, the Bible says a person of wisdom draws out of the deep wells of the heart. Right. So I believe that she's known me long enough to be able to draw some of those things out. And so she'll let me have my and she's not fazed by it. You know, she grew up in a fiery Italian's home. It's just like, bam, there's it's explosive. So finally it gets me to the boiling point, and she's like, good, I'm glad that you let it out, you know. So but initially everything's inside, and I may feel anger, I may feel sad, I may feel worried or whatever it is, but then the next thing that I do is I look to the future, and I look down the road, you know, like a good one, elections. Somebody or something passes that we don't want to succeed, right? We had a different view, and we thought, man, if this happens, then it definitely is going down the toilet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've prayed, I have believed God. Now, I have to go back to the scripture and remember that all authority is given by God. Okay? You know, so if God doesn't want them there, they won't be there.
Yeah.
If they stole an election or if they did it by fraud, then guess what? God's still in control. And many times, I love the fact that we live in San Bernardino, because those mountains that we look at from, you know, Mount Baldy all the way over to, we call it Big Bear, but really San Gregorio, and, you know, those mountains that we see. When I look at those, something happens inside of me that I remember that God is in control.
Yeah.
Because those mountains weren't put there by anybody except God. And if they're still there,
come on,
God's still in control.
Yeah.
And then I go from the macro big image to all of a sudden there's birds chirping. They're flying by. And the Bible says not one of them falls to the ground without his notice. So from the macro to the micro, I realize, okay, God's still in control. This is all still working. The sun rose. It's going to set. And as long as those things are happening, what did God say in Jeremiah? If you can break my covenant with the day and the night, then you can break my covenant with my servant, right? I'm sorry, no one can break that covenant.
Yes. Yeah.
So guess what? God's word is going to come to pass. So the fear or the worry or the anxiety over that thing is immediately settled in me that, you know what, God's in control of this. Now I need to shift my focus and my view to what's ahead. So then, okay, I have a bill that's unexpected. Well, God knew.
Yep.
And I might not be able to provide for this, but God's my provider. So God, we have a bill. We're in covenant, right?
You're going to take care of it.
God, I know you're going to take care of it. I don't know how. Show me how to do this. Show me how to steward what I have. God, please supply and provide for it, right? I'm going to leave that with you, God, but I'm listening. I'm waiting on you, right? The election, okay? That's a big one. I mean, it a lot of people, I believe, spend a lot of time worrying about who's in office.
Yeah.
I mean, when I talk to the aged and they tell you when so-and-so got elected, we thought this was the end. We thought so-and-so was the Antichrist. And then we thought so-and-so was the Antichrist. And then, I mean, I can understand why they thought Hitler was.
Right. Yeah.
There was world domination. Yeah. There was a one world order coming on, you know, there was with the Jewish people.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The persecution of the Jews. That's like Bible textbook.
Yeah, they were checking all the boxes.
Here it is, right? Yeah. Gog and Magog. They're coming from the four corners for this big, you know, Axis versus Allies war. This is a worldwide thing. I can understand that. But then when we see a political figure get in office, we think that's the Antichrist just because we don't agree with their political views.
Yeah.
Or because they're ungodly.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It just means that something is going on that we don't understand. And so, God, I'm going to trust you that you know the future. And the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He guides it like a watercourse wherever he desires. So I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to leave God for that. I'm going to pray for their repentance. Because obviously, if God raised them up and they're not doing what they should, God, I pray they remember, repent, and return to your ways.
That's good.
Because even the ungodly gave glory to God. Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, again, talking about Pastor Teresa, this guy was out of his mind and ran on all fours, his hair matted up like eagle's feathers, his fingernails grew out like claws, and for 7 years was gone from the kingdom, and in one day was restored.
Yeah.
That shows me God is more in control, and Nebuchadnezzar was not godly.
Yeah.
You know, he had seen and declared that Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego's God was God after the whole incident with the fiery furnace, but then still lifted himself up in pride. He was ungodly. Mm-hmm. And then, even after what happened with him for 7 years, did he teach his children?
Right, no.
Because the very next verse after he's restored is, now his son was having a feast, and God's writing on the wall, you've been weighed and found wanting.
Yeah. Come on.
And the guy is out of the kingdom.
Yeah.
God is more in control of this than we know or give him credit for.
That's good.
So why am I going to worry about who's in office?
That's so good.
Rather than worry, I'm going to go over their head and talk to the one who's really in control.
And so, you know, all you're saying, Pastor, again, as we kind of conclude our conversation and some of this takeaway, it does speak to your kind of cool, calm collectedness. You're actually living this out in faith. It's not that you don't have the emotions, you don't have the feelings, they don't come across. But it seems as if you must have
grounded yourself in
the knowing, right? The knowing that even when you don't control, even when you don't know, you know who is in control.
Absolutely.
And that's probably the takeaway for all of us. That we probably find ourselves in a lot happier, more joyful, more peaceful state if we didn't let some of these things kind of take us to those levels, right?
Yeah.
The anxiety levels, the frustration levels. Again, that can say, oh, that's easier for you because you're not naturally more inclined for those things. But I think it'd be a mistake for us to take away like, oh, he's just naturally like that. But the part that is natural to you, you also couple with the faith to say, wait, let me.
Yeah. And I believe that we can train ourselves that way. You know, even though, like you said, naturally, that's my personality. It's my personal bent, if you will.
Yeah.
I had a dad who trained me that way. Mm-hmm. And there was some training involved in it because I watched him. And when things would come up, he would be cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah.
He would look at things rationally. And he would kind of debrief with the family and talk to us about things. And he would say, why would we freak out when we know this or when these things are here, you know? And so he would guide us in those things. Now, not everybody has that opportunity to have someone like that speak into their lives. But even like when I took medical training, you know, in college, I needed an elective unit. And so I took first aid, a one unit class. It was a nighttime class at the local community college. And part of their training was, hey, you're going to need to assess the situation. You're going to need, you know, and so you can't freak out. Like you've got to discipline yourself. And a lot of the medical training is that you just have to go for it. And Pastor Justin and I were talking about this the other day, and we were talking about crisis and parenting and, you know, vomit and blood and all the stuff that nobody wants to deal with. And we're like, why do you think? And I was like, I think there's like a survival mechanism that kicks in.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That like, I know this is bad, but I got to deal with it right now.
Mm-hmm. And put it down and
you just do what you got to do. Like the limb is hanging by a thread. I'm going to put a tourniquet and I'm going to get them to the hospital. Yeah. Right. You know, so like you make it happen and then you freak out later. You know what I mean? Like I think with God, though, we may be freaking out internally or some of us externally. Right. But I think in many ways, God is like, hey, take a breath. Let the God instinct, let my spirit's guidance rise up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I love that song. There's a lion inside of his lungs.
Yeah.
Get up and praise the Lord. Right.
Yeah.
It's a choice that we have to yield to the Spirit of God. Allow him to take control in those moments and get stuff done.
Yeah.
Right. Don't freak out. Who cares who's in the government? Who cares what bill passed? Right.
Yeah.
Because even with those things going on the way that they are, God is still in control.
Yeah.
So what does God want me to do now in this environment, right?
Yep.
With this bill, with this relationship that just fell apart, or whatever scenario you can put out there, let God rise up you know? Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing with your goals and with your, you know, we kind of started talking about that and with the future focus. And when you're looking at that, whether it's planned and expected or whether it's unexpected and chaotic, either way, it has to be spirit led.
Yep.
Right. And it has to be guided by the Lord. Your aim is always at God. Your focus is always at him. So that whether you're planning out your year and you're walking in the steps that you already pre-planned, which I believe there's faith involved in that because faith sees things that are not seen. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to grow there.
So good.
Right? I'm not able yet, but I'll get able, right? I don't have the wisdom yet, but I'm going to get the wisdom. Or when the unexpected happens, I don't have the resource, but I'm going to get the resource, right?
Yeah.
I don't have the answers. God has the answers, right? And I can rest in him. So either way, I believe there's that element of allowing the Spirit to lead, of faith, and just that confidence. There's such tremendous hope in God, right?
Yeah.
Because even if it gets the worst, so bad, we read the end of the book.
Come on.
And there's tremendous hope. We're going to make it.
That's good. Well, Pastor Dan, thank you so much. Happy birthday again to you. And it was a great time. And we're going to glean from that wisdom. And we know that more and more is to come. And so thanks again for the conversation. Again, for those of you, thanks for tuning in all the way through. Like, comment, share, subscribe, ask a question. And we're looking forward to answering some more of your questions on the next episode.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Talk to you soon.